Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Alistair, I mean Andy, I'm just here to promote My Client is Innocent at the Comedy Festival starting this 31st of March, 2022. And also, you can listen to The Pop Test. If you don't know what that is, it's our science comedy quiz show from ABC. Thank you very much for listening, and here is the episode.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, tuning your dial to Tour of the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas, FM. And yes. And Alistair.
You can also hear us on I'm Andy and I'm Alistair George William Trombley Birchall, AM.
That's right. We're simulcast. Alistair, before we started... You know how we are with this podcast experimenting on the tiredness spectrum, and we're trying to do a podcast at every level of tiredness that exists.
Yeah.
Well, we were, as we usually were before the podcast, comparing the extent to which each of us feels like a husk, and it made me think that when you say a husky voice, you often think of that as being somehow sexy.
Yeah.
But the alternative is that you're just listening to somebody who's been hollowed out from within. And they've got absolutely nothing left to give.
And they're sleepy and tired and dry.
For some reason, I imagine so dry. Yes.
Yeah. And I am. So what are we doing with this sketch idea? This is
somebody's got a husky voice.
Can you do an example of a husky voice for me?
Of a hollowed out like a husk.
It's just like a standard husky voice.
So, you're probably wondering, what I'm gonna do to you when I get you back home. I don't know. Yeah. What do you reckon?
But I mean, No, I think that sounds good. That sounds kind of Clint Eastwood-y.
You've made me
realize that he was probably, when he was doing those voices, it was probably in the early, when his children were just very young.
It's probably what it is.
But also, it doesn't sound like there's a lot of meat in there.
A lot of meat?
Your vocal cords, in inverted commas, are actually like... just vocal folds, aren't they? Just like a couple of slabs of meat.
Meat on meat. Well, it is like a sort of a meat kazoo. Really, I think the vocal box.
Yeah.
Right. The larynx. Yeah.
That's right. It's a
and
meat
singing.
Kazoo.
Let's start referring to singing as playing the old meat kazoo. Now I realize it sounds like it could be sexual, but it's not. Yeah. It's absolutely not.
It's not. It's actually one of the most innocent things you can do. It probably originates from trying to put babies to sleep.
Mm. Exactly. Playing the meat kazoo.
Yeah. Of course, babies come from not playing the meat kazoo, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
That's the irony.
What am I writing down?
It's the opera. It's the proper opera, right? The husky opera. The husky opera, but it is, you're introducing the most famous opera singer of all time, Dame Nellie Melba.
Or Pavarotti.
Dame Nellie Pavarotti.
Nellie Pavarotti.
And you introduce her. You give her a big spiel, and then she says, and then you say, and here she is on the meat kazoo with her meat kazoo.
And just like that, you can destroy a whole art form.
I mean, imagine.
I think like the numbers, you know, the official, you know, Opera Australia numbers would have within a year.
Oh.
And you only need to say it at one performance. But word would get around. It would make a newsletter. Oh, I didn't like when they called it a meat kazoo.
Well, I can't stop thinking about it now. Every time I hear a sound, a vocal performance.
Their neck as the sort of the neck of the kazoo. And then that little circular plastic bit that is normally on the kazoo, I think of that as their face.
Now, this isn't a great sketch, but look, put it in this context, right? Imagine it's a psychiatrist, and in there, in the psychiatrist, is an opera singer talking about how they can't sing anymore because they heard someone refer to the vocal box as a meat kazoo. Now it's got a context, and not only is it a context, it's the finest of all the sketch comedy contexts. It's the context.
The What does that mean?
I think you can sometimes refer to something as the this or the that. And was a famous ancient civilization, possibly the first ever civilization.
Okay.
Now, I might have made all of this up. I'm not sure where I'm getting this from, but I think when you say something is the this or the that, you are referring to it being the sort of the original.
Oh, the OG.
The OG. Yes, the UR.
I think OG.
How would I what?
How would you spell
UR.
Oh.
You are. No, I'm
primitive.
Not.
Primitive.
How would you spell it?
Original.
You are.
Earliest.
I'm not spelling it. That's why I'm asking you how to spell it. You are. I am. I would know if I was. I would know if I was, and I am not. So I'm just asking. How do you spell You are. All right.
Oh wow! There's a big. Have you ever heard of the ziggurat of It's a Neo-Sumerian. Ziggurat in what was the city of near Assyria in present-day Dikar province, Iraq.
I am finding a lot to enjoy just in the words, the ziggurat of It's a word, it's a sentence, it's a name that definitely exhibits diminishing returns. You start big with ziggurat. By the end, you've got nowhere left to go. You're already hollowed out. You're a husk. And by the time you get to well, nobody's paying attention. Everyone's still reeling from ziggurat, I imagine. Yeah. Everyone's still recovering. So why would you waste any energy coming up with the name of the town? That's What's true. A ziggurat?
A ziggurat, Andy, is...
It's
cognate with Semitic languages like Hebrew. Is a type of massive structure built in ancient Mesopotamia. It has the form of a terraced compound of successively receding stories or levels.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of like
I can imagine something.
It's kind of
like a stepped pyramid.
Andy, you won't believe this, but I was about to say a pyramid with basically squared off the areas, and you were absolutely right. I have no idea how you got anything of value out of what I was saying. So it's amazing.
Beautiful description.
Thank you. I read it myself. Ziggurat.
Alistair. Okay.
Imagine
so there
like
you go.
Being a Sumerian and just doing a lot of things for the first time. Oh no, wait, is that my kid? Okay,
that's okay.
I'll be back soon.
If you got to go, Alistair, I've clearly got this under control. I'm doing so well. I haven't said anything offensive. I haven't embarrassed myself or the podcast in any way. But okay, so look, let's go back to the husky voice thing, and let's say the sketch was you call up a sex chat line that advertises a husky voice, and you know, I imagine people who are a hollowed out husk probably also do want to go to bed, whether or not it's with you, right? But it is it's a Alistair, you're back?
Yeah, I am back.
Oh well, I hope your pen hand is
it's there.
Is throbbing with anticipation. No, I was just trying to put the husky voice thing into like a sex chat context where they're advertised as a husk, you know, someone with a husky voice who just wants to get to bed, but you call them up and it turns out they're just a hollowed out husk and don't just want to get to bed to never get out of it again.
I just want to get in your bed.
To get in your bed, but only to sleep.
You call up. It's just, you thought you were calling up a sex hotline, but it's a tired hotline. And it's very soon they go, tell me. They're like, tell me what you're wearing. You go, I'm just in my undies. And you go, wow. And it's just somebody that you woke up, right?
Yeah, right. Great.
But they, you know, they're probably sitting on, they're on a bus and they're always just going around. They're always trying to sleep on this bus and it's hard. So they never get a good night's sleep.
Oh,
never
wow.
Get those,
yeah, never get it's hard. I bet it's real hard. Tell me how hard it is. Oh, it's almost impossible.
and then they're just like, and then you say, would you want to come to bed with me? You go, yeah, I just want to come to bed with you. Where do you live? They go, I just live in Preston. They go, the bus goes through there. I want to come over and just climb into bed with you or without you.
I think it's something.
I want to get in bed and get started and you can watch.
How about, what do you think of this as a bed? It's a bed that is, there's also a second mattress that goes on top of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, it's a bed, a second mattress goes on top of you. Sorry, I'm trying to remember.
Second mattress that goes on top of you.
So it's like a sandwich bed.
It's a sandwich bed, Alistair. Yeah. Yes.
I love if it like, it's like, it kind of, it looks like a bunk, right? But it's kind of somewhere between a bunk and a sandwich press.
Yeah.
And you get in, that top bunk just comes down, but it doesn't have those like slats underneath.
No.
The mattress is kind of held from above.
And that's right.
And it kind of crushes you between the two.
Yeah.
And I think that would probably be the best night's sleep. You wouldn't turn around and stuff like that.
No, I mean, and you're in there, you know, sealed in a little package. You wouldn't hear anything from outside. I guess what would be good about this is that then you could be then picked up and stacked vertically. You could sleep in a vertical position.
You could spin,
I guess would
you
be
could,
quite
you
handy.
Could sleep spinning.
You could sleep spinning. Oh, that spin sleep.
If it was one of those, you know, if it's similar to this, but it was like that kind of foam packaging that you store, like a, you know, like a, you might transport like a, an expensive action figure in. And you were
and everybody else listening knows exactly what you're talking about.
I think they probably had it in Toy Story 2.
Okay.
Which everybody is listening has seen. So, you know, just indentations and... And then you could just be there in there in your foam indentations and then just a little bit of area to breathe. That's the luxury. That's the extra luxury.
Just a little opening.
Yeah. Just like a little crack in there.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the benefit that I was thinking? Yeah, you could be spinning. You could be spinning,
obviously. You could get the blood really going to your head and your feet, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, you could be... Genuinely, they could drop you. Like they could, you could be in orbit. You know,
this would be a great ad for mattresses. Yeah. You know how they do those. You know, when you're in school, you do that thing where you like you throw a you have to build something so you can throw an egg off the top of the gym and it lands without cracking. Be great ad for Jeff's mattresses.
Somebody jumps out of a plane with no parachute.
Exactly. If they tape somebody in between two mattresses, I mean, even dropping them out of the plane, I feel like is it in a way not quite as intense as pushing them off the top of like a 4-story building?
Yeah. Yeah. Or somebody like a helicopter takes them up to the top of a,
and you open it up.
Like a mobile phone tower.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they just lean it up against the top, like, you know, the top bit.
Mm. Mm.
And then eventually some wind knocks
throw
you
rocks
down
at it until it falls off. And,
yeah.
And then it lands on the ground, right? They slice open the gaffer tape that they've put all the way around the edges. They open it up. You're still asleep in there. or at least you look asleep.
That's what's great.
You're in one of the states of unconsciousness.
So it starts.
Could be the big one.
It starts with them. Starts with them sneaking into your house.
Mm. That's great.
With your sandwich,
with
your sandwich press bed.
Well,
and then they take you out. They put you in a truck.
Now, in my mind, I don't know if this is a sandwich press bed anymore. I think what it is, it's an ad for Jeff's mattresses, and your family has signed you up for this, right?
Yeah.
Because they reckon you're a light sleeper. Okay, so they sneak in there with a second Jeff's mattress and they put it down on top of you and they tape it down on you, right?
Yeah.
Then they pick you up.
What's that, Occi strap?
Occi strap you all around and then they take you out in the back of the truck and your family's all there laughing in the front room. They take you up and they push you off the top of a mobile phone tower and then you're still awake and you're a really light sleeper. Then they like tickle your face. Or something with a little...
Yeah, they probably take you home first, put you back in your room.
Yeah, yeah. And then they wake you up. Yeah.
And then you go to work and then you win an award for how good you worked that day.
Yeah, that's good. This is one of those feature-length ads.
Yeah. 90 minutes.
Mm.
Big budget. But
you know
for an ad, it's like $20,000.
Yes. You know how they are...
I did have an idea from before, but did you really have something or were you just starting to say words?
I've already forgotten it.
Okay. Well, there was just a thing about... You mentioned my pad hand might be throbbing.
Mm.
And I love the idea that sometimes your hand could start to throb and it's like a kind of, it's almost uncomfortable, but it's, you know, it's clear that the hand wants something.
Yeah.
And,
right.
And then you have to like rub your penis on it. you know, it's probably just like to like file down the nails or something like that.
Okay. Hang on. So the hand is horny, right?
Well, it's not horny. It has its own wants. It's a different thing.
Sure. It's handsy.
It's handsy. Yeah.
I'm interested.
Yeah. We have to think of what the reverse of horny would be because it's like it's kind of reverse masturbating, isn't it?
Because
suddenly it's just like, look, what is masturbation? You just you get a discomfort.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to achieve by like, but rubbing a flaccid penis on something?
Yeah,
it doesn't feel like it could do anything. I mean, maybe it could be used to sort of erase a whiteboard.
You know what it could do? I reckon. You could. What did you say? Erase a whiteboard?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you could go. So it's like your hand alerting you that your hand is dirty.
Maybe.
Yeah. And he goes, oh, I'm so dirty.
Yeah.
And then
you rub one out.
You know what I was thinking? I started thinking
Rub one
it was
off.
What your hand does went to alert you that you've got a wart.
Oh.
And the only way is to sort of like, for some reason, it's kind of like, it's just like dick skin cures it, but you got to get it all over.
Dick skin.
And you dick can skin. Sort of dick skin. And maybe this a bit is a, of pee.
Maybe the wart just gets transferred to the penis, and then this becomes like a one-man version of that movie It Follows, which somebody pointed out to us when we were trying to come up with a sexually transmitted sex organ.
Yeah.
But it's a bit like the movie It Follows, which is a sort of a sexually transmitted monster that sort of follows you and kills you. But the only way to get rid of it is to pass it on to somebody else by sleeping with them. This is like that, but for masturbators, where you just pass it around between different bits of your body by rubbing them together.
And then you just find a single place that would be good. But you know what you could do then? You could get a doctor to look at it and then hope that they don't use gloves.
Yeah, oh, that'd be great. Fingers crossed. I got one of those great doctors.
Well, then, no, but then the whole point would be to try to find a bad doctor. The dirty doctor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dirty doc. Yep, all right. Is this a sketch idea?
It's just a single wart? I don't know. I don't know if it is. Okay, look. I'll single... It's the It Follows wart.
Yeah, okay, great. I can tell you about a children's book idea that I had just before the episode started.
Okay.
It's not really a sketch idea. It's not really a funny idea necessarily, but it's a book called The Snore Next Door.
Yeah.
And it's a kid who's trying to get to sleep, but they can't because of a really loud snore that's coming from the apartment next door.
Yeah.
But and then they try and work
hungry.
Out.
Turns out they're hungry and because they hadn't eaten their vegetables. I know you love a good
stomach.
Moral. Yeah.
Yeah.
They develop stomach problems because they didn't have a proper diet and...
They have an ulcer.
They have an ulcer and it makes their stomach rumble a lot.
Mm. Yeah, and actually the stomach acid actually eats through the wall of their torso. The wall out, and then starts dissolving things around them.
Oh my god! And it actually starts dissolving through the child's like actual skin, like out.
Yeah.
And then
out
they just have
flesh.
Like a hole that. And then that their like internal organs are exposed to.
But then their parents don't want to get it fixed because it actually turns out it's a lot easier to feed them by just putting food into their stomach through the hole.
But they just put a little door on there that they took off an old dryer.
I think this is a funny idea, which is where parents are getting this installed in their kids when they're young. It's kind of like, you know, like a circumcision. It's the sort of thing that you can do when a kid is small and it's not that, you know,
they don't complain. They can't complain because they're a baby.
Exactly. So you get a little door put in their tummy, right? And then you can just cram the food in there. It doesn't make sense to have a lunchbox and a stomach. Given that they're both just containers that you put food in. So, like, when your kid's about to go off to school, you quickly open the lid of their stomach, shove in, some sliced carrot, a sandwich, bits of apple and maybe some celery with some peanut butter inside. Right? Yeah. Now, off you go, kids. You're clipping it shut, forcing the clip closed.
You could just put them in, like, you know, slowly dissolvable Ziploc bags.
Yeah, that'd be great. whatever they use for those Panadol tablets that sort of the wall release. Of the tablet dissolves, or whatever it is that they use for those dishwasher capsules, where you get like a capsule and it's got a sort of a whatever that stuff is, that wibbly wobbly plastic wall.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And so that way you can, you know, you put one that lasts like 3 hours, so that'll get them to recess. Maybe it's not 3 hours, maybe it's like 2 hours or an hour and a half or something like that. And then you have like a sort of a 4-hour one for lunch. Again, that's probably too long. but you just fill them up in the morning and they go to school and they feel pretty full. But as the day goes on, they get access to the nutrients, and then also they start processing the food a bit more, and then they feel less and less discomfort as the day goes on. So by the time they come home, they're happy.
You know? Happy to see you.
I mean, they feel bad all day, but they're not near you then.
Yeah, exactly. And that, you know, that's actually good parenting. That's what good parenting is, where people are. My kids are happy. Are sad when I'm not around. Sounds like I'm doing a good job. Sounds like I'm the solution to the problem.
Oh yeah, I suppose it's like a there's you know, it's not quite a.
It's
reverse.
Called the kid lid. It's called the kid lid.
Oh yeah, the kid lid. Great. I was thinking that it's kind of like it's not quite a reverse Munchausen. But it's like
Munchausen is another great name for the for the product, the Munchausen.
Yeah. Well, that's probably what you actually the plastic that you put around the food, the dissolvable bag, Munchausen.
the company that makes it is Proxy, Munchausen by Proxy.
But like. Giving your kids something that poisons them so that when they're around other people, they feel bad.
Mm.
So it's not like that you take care of them. I assume that you want them to feel better when they're around you, but you're like, oh, yes, I guess you should never leave me then.
Well, I mean, what is parenting if not giving your kids the sickness the sickness of a healthy family life where your love is the antidote. You know, you're giving them a poison and you say, well, if you want the cure, you've got to come home and give me a hug. Isn't that what all love is? Saying, I'm poisoning you, but...
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I've got a little healthy attitude here.
I mean, I think there's an element of that in which I think there's a certain amount, not that you withhold love, because I think you kind of make the love unconditional, but there is a secondary, the second tier down of approval does make it seem like that is wielded as a weapon.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously it's wrong to hit kids. Right, that's very bad, but you can
burn them.
You can make them feel bad in other ways, and that's just what
I guess for not fitting into your idea of what a good person in society is.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. It's all too close to reality. That like. That involved in getting your kids to do what you want very often is a kind of manipulation where you regret it instantly. Whatever it is that you're... Oh, it's so hard to keep it all positive.
Sure.
Keep it all positive and then you like find yourself being like, well, no, you can't have that second hug until you are in your pajamas. You're like...
Trading, like, yeah, it's the weirdest economy, isn't it? I hate having to stop fun. It's like,
oh my god,
you know, you go, yeah. It's like, oh, like, okay, so yesterday, like, the kid was flicking a snake, a soft toy snake, but towards me and the younger kid, and the younger kid who's in my arms was really loving it, right? And then, so we did about, you know, five or six of those, and they were fun. The smallest kid was really laughing, and the bigger kid was having a good time. And then suddenly it's like, okay, but now we can't just keep doing this. One of them's got to go to bed or whatever. And so then you go, okay, now we're going to stop. And then, of course, it keeps going because there's fun happening. And then it goes, okay, one more, and then that's it. And then do one more, and then you go, okay, now that's it now. And then they do another one, and you go, hey... you know.
And then, now, yeah, that's too much fun. Now you've got to stop the fun. The agreement was we would stop having fun.
Remember, I agreed. Remember when I agreed to that? And for both of you, that's it. We've hit the limit.
And, yeah. I mean,
is there a product?
Anything that involves flicking near a kid, I'm already on top of that type of fun. There'll be no flicking.
Well, it's more like flicking like how you would flick the tip of a whip.
God, that was satisfying to hear.
Was it me talking, or was it something that happened in your room?
No, it was flick the tip of a whip. Yeah, okay. Flick the tip of a whip.
Do you like do you like eyes? Do you?
Yeah, I do. You know me.
Well, there's quite a few.
I'm an eye guy.
Right now.
I'm
guy,
an eye
and then guy.
Guy
spelled G U I.
That's right.
And then I is spelled I Y I.
That makes me feel actually very unpleasant. It's really. Really
they horrible. They should have spelt eyes, like, you know, your eyes. They should have spelt it I.
Maybe I. Then there's, you know, then you've got two eyes.
Yeah.
In I. You know, because we do have two eyes.
But you also
it does make sense.
You also do have two eyes in three eyes.
I suppose E-Y-E. You could imagine that the two E's are the eyes, and then
the Y is
a little nose.
Yeah, and maybe even the base of the bottom of the stem of the Y could almost be the mouth.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right. So we cracked it there.
And do you think if they're both lowercase E's, then the under part of the E is like the bags under the eyes.
The bags under the eyes, yeah. Great. Yeah, and we just discovered what the mouth of the eye is, but only the mouth of the word eye. As yet, nobody knows what the mouth of the eye itself is. I'm guessing the eyelids, or maybe the pupil. It's got to be the pupil, isn't it?
Andy, you're not going to believe this, but we actually have 5 sketch ideas.
I'm sure we've talked about this before, but eye lips is definitely... It feels like there should be eye lips instead of eyelids. Anyway,
yeah.
Alistair.
No, I mean, they're not as controllable as lips. You know? I don't know if they're just kind of pulled tight at the edges and then just kind of thrown down. I don't know how the downward motion works.
No, you're absolutely right. It's made me look at myself in the mirror that's in front of me and wish that I could sort of screw up my eyelids in new and interesting shapes like I do with my mouth.
Yeah. Every day, finding new shapes and interesting ones, not just new. They have 2 levels of novel to them.
New and interesting.
Does novel just mean new? Or it also means sort of notable?
No, I think it mostly means new.
So it's like nouveau.
That's right.
You think instead of saying the novel coronavirus, we should be saying the nouveau coronavirus?
Nouveau coronavirus. Ooh. It's suddenly, I think if it originated in Europe, we probably would be saying that,
right.
On the continent.
But instead we're using a Chinese word.
Novel. That's right.
How would you feel about going to 3 words from a listener?
I feel good. I'm sorry for yawning. That's really rude.
No, Andy, but I'm upset now.
I would love to go to 3 words from a listener, please.
Well, I don't know if you know this, Andy, but we have 3 words from a listener. And I got to say, people have been responding really well to me losing all of the 3 words. and people have been sending them in. We've had a bunch of people who've signed up to Patreon.
That's very exciting.
As a response.
Amazing.
We want to thank you.
Maybe we should mention this more often. Maybe you should lose the words more often. I mean, it feels like a giant tree has fallen in the forest. And all the little saplings have rushing to try and take its place.
I think people are realizing
that's what happened to the old system.
It was an old sequoia, and that had outgrown the forest and started to rot on the inside. And then eventually it couldn't hold itself up and it fell, and it knocked out a lot of trees on the way down. But that opened up the forest floor to some sunlight. And now
exactly.
The three words can now grow out of the ground. How would you feel about me reading out? Let's hope we haven't actually done these words and I'm not fucking up big time here.
I'd feel great about that. Because okay. There's been a lot of build up for these words now.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of anticipation.
Oh, no. These are fresh. These are real fresh. These are from the last 7 days. So here we go. You ready? They're from David Byrne.
Okay.
Or David Bourne. I would say it's actually David Bourne. David, thank you so much. David has been a big supporter of us on the social media for a long time. Do you remember?
Thank you so much, David.
Andy, do you remember a sort of a red, blue, and white thumbs up in the middle of the hand?
I do, indeed. Up? Is
I
that
believe
David?
It's 21st century. Wow. 21st
dead.
Century.
Dead.
Dead? Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, 21st century dead. And so, that's who David Bourne is. I hope I'm not doxing. Well, I mean, I know I am, but my hope is that I'm not. That's all I want you to know where my hopes lay. there is three words, Andy. Do you want to try and guess what they are?
Okay, the first word is Clostridium.
Clostridium. Look, it's a good guess, I got to say. I feel like it's probably what you would get if you mix the first two words together. But outside of that, the word is... Now, I've come across a little problem with it because I had to look it up because I didn't know how to say the word, right? Now, there is a word that comes up that is got two L's in it, whereas the one that's written here doesn't, right? So if I was to tell you what the 2L one was, it's Calliope. You know, that an American keyboard instrument resembling an organ, but with the notes produced by steam whistles, formerly used on showboats and in traveling fairs.
That's fun. That's fun.
See? But there is, if you look up the other version of the with the one L, there is also, it's Calliope is a variant, like this, of the name Calliope. In Greek mythology, Calliope was one of the nine muses and a goddess of epic poetry and eloquence. She is the mother of Orpheus and Linus.
I got a little Greek from it.
And means beautiful voice. So I think maybe we could just mix in a little bit of the two.
Sounds good. Sounds healthy. I wouldn't be surprised if the name of the musical instrument derived from the beautiful voice. I mean, a piano made of steam whistles sounds like somebody's playing the old...
Meat kazoo is better. But if you
steam and meat are basically the same letters.
Steam and meats. The meats kazoo.
Anyway.
Do you want to try and guess what the second word is, Andy?
The second word is lozenge.
No, it's balsamic.
What
is the third word, Andy?
Calliope, balsamic.
Calliope.
Calliope, balsamic, nude.
Very, I think all the letters are in this word. It's ineptitude. Which you can't say without spelling nude.
Calliope, balsamic, Ineptitude. Wow.
Ineptitude. Oh, the ineptitude sounds like a great description of my penis. Sorry.
I thought you were going to say your playing of the calliope.
Oh, yes. No. Ineptitude.
Sure. Yeah. But I was thinking it would be a series of tubes pumping the steam. Do you see? Do you see? Balsamic vinegar. I mean, I've always accepted, you know, balsamic. Does balsamic have any other uses? Because, we get it in the context of vinegar, but does it, as a descriptor, could you have balsamic cheese? Could you have balsamic Wednesdays? Could you have a balsamic fight with your beloved?
Where does it come from? Does it come from a particular, like, balsa?
Balsam. I don't know. Maybe it's a region.
Oh, balsamic vinegar contains no balsam or balsa. Two things that I didn't know what they were. Balsam is the resinous exudate, which forms on certain kinds of trees and shrubs.
Of course, the resinous exudate.
Which comes from its name from the biblical balm of something. Anyway.
This has made me feel is that it's very possible that what you would scrape out when a jazz singer, when a famous jazz singer dies, I feel like you should be able to scrape out the end of their trumpet, trumpeter. You should be able to scrape out the end of their trumpet, the bell end, right?
Yeah.
And the flakes that are in there, whatever flakes that they've had over their entire career are tooting on the horn. Right? Whatever those flakes are, you should be able to buy a cocktail that has the flakes from old Satchmo's trumpet.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, you know, they never do that with ingredients. They might be like, oh, this bun has like shredded dry pork on it, like sort of like, you know, some of those, something I saw in Taiwan, you know, shredded dried pork, kind of almost like a pork dust or you might get those like dried fish flakes and things like that.
Sure.
I'm not, you know, but it's basically, it's always a generic fish or a generic, you know, pork. Right, they never let you know which pig it was or which fish.
That's so interesting.
And so you could do that kind of thing with the deceased by allowing different parts of the bodies of the dead to be sprinkled onto other foods or, served as mains. But I think anything that you shed, you should be able to just fill out a mold of that is in the shape of your body in your garage and, all your nail clippings and
any spit. We're big fans of this.
Any spit? Anytime you donate.
I mean, that's
blood.
Why, it shouldn't be in the garage. It should be in the shed. And that should be why it's called a shed. Because when you shed things, you put them in the shed.
Yes. But these are not, these are not for some future lover, like we discussed in the first time we talked about keeping all the things that you shed because you want somebody to
love all of you.
Love every part of you that you've. But this is purely for culinary reasons. Imagine all the people who would make cocktails who would love to have some of, it doesn't sound good, but, imagine rubbing some of like Abraham Lincoln's earwax on the edge of a glass, right before you roll it in celery salt and, make it old fashioned or something. I don't know. The Bloody Mary.
I think it's fun, and the fact that you've made it a president, an American president, really interests me. You know, a president's bar where, you know, whoever, they've sourced every extant, every body part that they could get of any president living or dead. They could get their hands on. They'll pay any price. And then you can go there and all their cocktails involve, you know, using microscopic but present traces of those presidents themselves. So, and you can go and you can ask, you ask for them, you order them just by asking for the number of the president. Can I go and get a 38?
Yeah.
Can I get a 16?
Each drink is basically the same thing, like, you know, but you can just change the president. They don't like go like, oh,
exactly.
You know, Lincoln's earwax goes great with pairs nicely with a, you know, a white rum or something like that. They just go, no. We do like 12 cocktails.
That's then, right.
You know, one has earwax, one has snot, one has, you know, bile, one just has like a bunch of, you know, like frozen ears or whatever that you can shake onto the top. You know.
Now, would you call this bar Abraham Drinking?
Andy, I'm writing it down.
Yes. Thank you.
Abraham Drinking Bar.
I've been drinking a lot of non-alcoholic beer recently. And I think this morning I woke up with a non-alcoholic hangover.
Really?
Yeah, I felt terrible. And, I mean, who's to say if it's everything else in my life? But there's a possibility that it was the two cans of ultra-low alcohol hoppy ale that I had last night.
Well, ultra-low makes it sound like it would have just taken alcohol that was naturally in your body out.
You think maybe I was underdrunk.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you've had like sort of alcohol-based nutrients taken out of your body. The body must have just a natural...
Everybody would be fermenting just a little bit.
Yeah. Think about it. You know, there's all that food inside you.
Mm-hmm.
And when stuff comes out, it always does have a bit of a, like, you know, what's going on in there kind of scent to it.
Oh, geez.
Oh, it's a bit whiffy in there. Because I found it really interesting today. I was eating like a mixture of canned tuna with rice and a little bit of greens in there. And it was occurred to me that, you know, because, you know, it's traditionally a odd thing to, you know, it's traditionally kind of frowned upon to bring, you know, a fishy smell to a workplace.
I've done it.
Yeah, and I've done it. And you know, you just, I guess, what's interesting is that you can get rid of the smell by just putting the food in your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, it's like a sealed enough package.
Well, it's the kid lid. It's the munch housing.
It's the munch housing. Like, it means that you could... Oh, forget it. I'm not going to say this.
Alistair, come on.
Andy, we managed to get through an episode without talking about shit. And then suddenly I'm like,
You were going to talk about eating a shit to get rid of the smell of the
whatever.
Shit.
Yeah, you're on a date.
You're on a date. You do a shit.
You go back to their house.
You do a shit. There's nowhere to put the shit. So you eat the shit. Is that what you were going to say?
You eat the shit. In order to...
So you go to the toilet.
What are you doing?
You use their toilet.
Fine.
The toilet won't flush and you don't know what... It smells really bad. You don't know what to do to get rid of the shit, so you eat the shit.
It's a first date with a billionaire.
Oh, no.
You know, and their toilet doesn't
work. And it's gone really well so far.
It's gone so well. And you don't want to be like, sorry, I did a shit in your toilet, didn't flush. You know? And you're like, I've got to save this. I'm going to eat this shit before I go back out there. And you just try to, you know, you don't want to flush too many times because you don't want to fucking see. Like, you just, like, the flush might just give a little bit of liquid. And you just kind of, you get some of that liquid just to help wash it down. Make sure there's nothing in your teeth when you come out, you know?
Oh, God.
But then they're like, you tell them later on in life. You know, I don't know if you remember this, but when we
what happens is they kiss you and they say, I love the taste of your mouth, right? And then to maintain this relationship with the billionaire, you've got to keep eating shit.
Just every now and then.
To keep the flavor. Because that's what you're willing to do. To be with this billionaire, about whom we know nothing else.
That's right. Well, this, you know, your personality can only get you so far. Sometimes to get the edge over all the other suitors, you got to eat a little poopy.
You're writing that down.
I guess so. Eat shit. Date with billionaire.
I just find it funny, the idea of going on a date with a billionaire.
Yeah. And that it's going well. And that you're like, because it feels like you would try extra hard, right? Because you'd be like, well, if this goes well and I get in the natural way, which is just like through just a, you know, they're interested in you and you're interested in them, then suddenly you're set for life.
It's true. I mean, do you imagine when two billionaires go on a date together and at the end they're arguing over who's going to buy the restaurant and fire all the staff?
Yeah. You know. Wait.
No, you know, I'll do it.
You know what's interesting? To think about this, about like it's a movie about a guy who is happily married with two kids. And like a really, like a person who's very ethical, but then a billionaire starts showing interest in him.
and
the thing is,
and then even his wife is like, well, just go with this billionaire. I mean, our kids will be set. I love you, but I mean, you're being really selfish.
Yeah. Well, that's true, yeah, because I hadn't thought that the wife might be into it. It's like, well, what, you're leaving us? Go, no, yeah, of course, go.
What's wrong with you?
You go, no, but he's trying to be ethical.
He goes, ethical. No,
it's unethical to stay with us. But I want to see the kids grow up all the time. Yeah, you'll see them enough. But these things are worth more than money. No, they're not. Are you okay if I write this down? I like the idea, but I think a billionaire is like a concept that's not used enough in films, and I don't watch a lot of films, so I would know.
Well, that is good. Alistair, can you take us through the sketch ideas from today's episode?
I wish I could, yeah. Okay, wait. For them. Okay. Here we go, Andy. Well, for this episode of Tune to Think Tank 328, we begin with The Meat Kazoo Ruins Opera.
Strong start.
Of course, yeah. Somebody mentions Nelly Melba's Meat Kazoo at the beginning of the opera, and nobody was able to enjoy the show because they keep thinking of her neck as a kazoo. And then it actually really ruins opera, and then they have to try to do a lot of PR and stuff like that to try and bring opera back, because it feels like it's on the verge. The only thing that's holding it in place is its kind of its conservative charm.
Yeah.
It keeps getting that funding from the governments. Anyway, then we got the sleepy hotline. This is where you accidentally call a hotline, thinking that you're getting a sexy hotline, but this is a sleepy hotline where the person is very sleepy and they would love to get into bed with you.
And their husky voice is just to do with them being a hollowed out husk.
Oh yeah, I have a person. Yeah, absolutely. And then we got the mattress commercial with the big fall. They sneak
like
in.
Like this a lot.
They drop them from a very high place. And now they are replacing it with duck mattresses. We test our mattresses by placing them at the top of a mobile phone tower.
We should pitch this to a We should pitch this to one of those mattress companies. I think they might get on board.
Yeah, I know. I think it would be a funny...
It's a funny premise.
It's a funny ad for them to, I guess, pretend to do.
Yeah. Yeah,
or
pretend.
Do.
Yeah.
Or do.
I like the bit where you go to work and you win an award for how productive you were.
It was actually a better night's sleep than even normally. So that's because I mean, they were touching two of the mattresses, which they don't normally do, but now they're actually stopped. Think of all the money you'll save on sheets when you start just using another mattress as a blanket.
Another mattress, yeah, great.
And you know what? I don't ever, you know, I wouldn't use sheets or mattress protectors on there because I believe in myself. You know?
Yeah.
I'm happy if I piss the bed or shit the bed or something like that. I just throw the mattresses away and then I start again.
I mean, the only thing that stopped me doing that is the mattresses are the most impossible thing to throw away.
Ah, well, you don't have a helicopter.
That's true. Drop it straight into the middle of the ocean.
No, but think about it. If you go to that island of garbage out in the ocean, right, and you realize that there's mattresses out there, and you go, oh, fuck. Well, I could live here now. And then suddenly the pressure on the housing system is eased. Okay, then we've got the It Follows wart.
Okay, all right. Yep, we all know what that one is. It's a wart that just moves around your body. You rub it from place to place.
Until you can get someone else to touch it.
Yeah.
It's just like, and the only thing
just
that's tough
one wart.
Is one wart, and the only thing that's really tough about it is you got to get them to rub it for 3 seconds.
Wow.
And it's just that tiny bit longer. Like, that's why it's so hard to get somebody else to rub it. Because people will notice if they're touching
your back. And they have to want to rub it.
Really?
Okay. That's part of the magic.
Yeah. Okay. So you have to somehow make people want to rub your thing.
Yeah, that's right. Oh,
maybe if you pretend, if you tell them that you're a billionaire and you go on a date with them and you're like, gosh, I've always wanted somebody to rub my wart. They go, I will. It's the only way.
Yeah.
Then we got the food door for parents to put into their kids, which is called the kid lid. Yeah. It's just a way of getting around how difficult it is to get the proper nutrients into your children when they refuse to eat good food.
I think it's a great ad where you see, a mom, she's packing the lunches on the bench there in the kitchen, right? Mm-hmm. You see her closing the lid and then you zoom out and you see that the lid's in the kid's tummy. The kid's lying there on the bench.
Yeah, that's really
good. Shirt up. They're cramming stuff in.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mom. They run, pull down their T-shirt, run off to the bus. It's the kid lid.
It's great. And their stomach is sort of protruding a little bit more than it normally does because they've got so much food in there. Not chewed
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
Then we got Abraham Drinker. Abraham Drinking. Sorry. Oh, God. It's a bar I wrote barware flakes. But, you know, it's where you can get bits of presidents and put them in drinks. And then we've got the Eat Shit Date with Billionaire.
Mm-hmm. It's very funny. It's made me laugh so much.
Then we got the Billionaire Ethical Dilemma to Leave Family for Them film. So I think that's it, Andy. I think we should go into the Bonch Day Day Bonch Day 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 Bonch Day Day sitting here resting my bones.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to In the Think Tank. We like that you did that to it and of and us. Yeah. And we are available on the internet in various locations, but you should most of all... book tickets to My Client is Innocent, and you should most of all download, rate, and subscribe the Pop Test. And you should most of all do whatever brings you the most joy and just have a day off.
Sure. And if you get an opportunity after all those things, if you also are interested in seeing me do stand-up with Matt Stewart from Do Go On, you can get Honk Honk Hubba Hubba Ring-a-Ding-Ding at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival in the second half. And apart from that, I just hope that you have a wonderful time and with your life and things like that. And don't forget to listen to, you know what, the Weekly Planet. They're a great program. They do good things. They do, you know, they help people out, and you know, and they could use your listeners.
They're very funny.
They're very
probably the funniest.
Unbelievably funny, so naturally funny.
They don't have to try. I hate that about them.
Yeah, they don't have to try at all. Everything is just so close to lip.
That's right. And we
love you. Bye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.